What up, what up, what up? This is your man Dre Day from Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and I have a public service announcement for all you listeners out there. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground in 2018, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other places people like to listen? Also, where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join. Oh, one thing, you can record your episode from your phone or computer. So again, go to anchor.fm/start to join. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 281 of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for the continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. This episode here is going to be my NFL recap from this past weekend, which was week 8. Listen, I'm backed up with this episode. Usually I like recording my episodes on Wednesday, but listen, my birthday was Tuesday. Wednesday I was feeling lazy. I'm not even gonna hold y'all. You know, too much celebrating the night before and really wasn't in the mood to record on Wednesday. So today is Friday, okay? And the episode is going to drop on Friday. So when you hear this episode, just know I recorded it earlier today. and decided to put it out later on this afternoon. But yeah, what's on the docket for this is, you know, my recap from week number 8. So obviously I'm going to do that and also give my offensive and defensive player of the week awards, and then also go into my game picks for week number 9. Tampa Bay. I honestly do not know. Well, actually, I do know what's going on with them. Let me stop saying I don't know what's going on. But I think it's three things that's bothering this team. The first thing, obviously, the elephant in the room is what's going on with Brady. It's like a broken record, right? We know what's going on with his personal life, okay? We can't say wife no more. We have to say ex-wife because their divorce is finalized. Obviously, that has played a role into his performance this season, which was one of the reasons on why I was not excited when my guy chose to come back. I just wasn't. I wasn't one of those fans that was like, yeah, the GOAT is back. My man is back. No, I wasn't. I was not excited, not by the least. I was very content. I was very comfortable with my guy being retired. Very comfortable. Because I felt he had nothing to prove. Just like there's a bunch of fans out there that don't feel like he has nothing to prove. But for whatever the reason may be, he chose to come back. This whole unfinished business shit. My God, you got 7 rings. You damn near broke every record a quarterback can have. What unfinished business could you possibly have? Please tell me. But I digress. That's one situation. We then get into this defense, right? This defense that was supposed to be one of the top defenses in the league. You let the Pittsburgh Steelers run amok on you. A team that was way less superior than you, right? You took them for granted. Then the following week, you go up against the Panthers. You get dog walked by them. And then this past week, against the Baltimore Ravens, that defense just lit you up as well. Because if we look at the total yards, Baltimore had almost 500 yards. Now, obviously, that's the offense. 6 for 13 on third downs. They ran amok on this Tampa's defense. They ran amok on this Tampa Bay defense. Whether it was Edwards, whether it was Drake. Obviously, you know Lamar Jackson's going to run the ball, but they just had a field day with that Tampa defense. 231 rushing yards. And this goes to Todd Bowles because that's his specialty. He went from being defensive coordinator to now getting the head coach. And now it's showing his struggles. See, this is what happens when you give coordinators positions where they're only good at their primary shit, which is a coordinator. There's a lot of head coaches right now. But there's a lot of coordinators right now masquerading as head coaches. And I hate to say it because he's a brother, but Todd Bowles just happens to be one of them. Because when he was with the Jets a few years ago, he wasn't head coach material. But to his defense, they did give him a trash team. So I'm going to cut him some slack with that. But see, what's your excuse with this? You got Brady, right? You had this top-notch defense that everybody was talking about. Now what's going on? Oh, I forgot. Tampa can't run for shit either. I don't know what's going on with Leonard Fournette. Now, I know during the offseason they were saying that how he was overweight. He came into training camp overweight and shit like that. They did say he lost weight, but the way he's running, this brother might have gained that shit back because this season he ain't been running for a damn. In 8 weeks, he only has 386 rushing yards. That's 25th in the NFL. So if we're talking about the primary running backs on each team, he's 25th in rushing yards. And he only has 2 touchdowns this season, which is tied for 26. This Tampa Bay team is to shit. Now, we know how this goes. When you're the GOAT, and when you're that guy, you're going to get the bulk of the success when y'all win. You're going to get the bulk of the credit when y'all win. And when you lose, you should get the bulk of it as well. So it's blame to go around this whole thing with this Tampa Bay team. It's a lot of blame to go around. It's not just Brady. You know what I'm saying? It's the defense. The running game is non-existent. And it's the head coach. All 4 of those things is the reason why Tampa is struggling right now. It's not just Brady. It's not just Brady. Now, obviously, he's the head of it, but he ain't the main reason. You know what I'm saying? He's not the only reason why this Tampa team is struggling. This is the first time that Brady has sustained a 3-game losing streak I believe in his career. Ain't Brady like, yo. It's not. It's not. But I tell you what, they better get it together because their next game, which is this weekend, I think for both teams, I'm going to get to that later on. I think for both teams, the team that they play, I'm going to get to that later. I think for both of those teams, it's a must win this weekend. Whichever team loses this weekend out of Tampa and the team that they're going against, one of those teams ain't making the playoffs. So this is going to be a must win for both of those teams. Okay. Jaguars and Broncos. I peeped that game on Sunday. It was on ESPN Plus. It was a good game. Jaguars won. Well, they lost 21-17. Pardon self. Trevor Lawrence, one turnover. Well, he had two turnovers, but one turnover, I think, just sucked the life out of the Jaguars. Because Trevor Etienne was doing his thing. He was having a field day with that Broncos defense. And his game got stripped because of his quarterback's performance. The Jaguars lost 21-17. Russell Wilson, please do not do this whole Bronco country, let's ride shit. Please don't start that. Okay, y'all won, but don't start that. Because I'm not even a Bronco fan. And I don't want to hear you saying that shit. So I could just imagine what your fan base is saying. I'm quite sure they don't want to hear you saying that. Rack up some wins. Have a better game before you start saying, Bronco country, let's ride. Okay? Falcons and Panthers. PJ Walker might have had the throw of the year with that Hail Mary at the end of the fourth quarter. Now, they could have won the game, but, an unsportsmanlike comment, an unsportsmanlike flag kind of pretty much messed that up for the Panthers because it's in the rules. You are not allowed to take your helmet off when you're on the field. Now, if you take it off and you're out the end zone, or off the field, in between those lines, then by all means, you could do that. Well, DJ Moore felt the need to get overexcited after his touchdown from that Hail Mary pass and took his helmet off in the end zone, and it cost the team 15 yards, and they missed the extra point. Now, had they made the extra point, they probably would have won, and we might be having a three-way tie in the NFC South. We just might. We just might have a tie because the Panthers would be 3-4, Atlanta would be 3-4, and Tampa would be 3-4. But, hey, it is what it is. Not the case. The Falcons are now 4-4. They won it in overtime. And now they are the sole leaders of the NFC South with a 4-4 record. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Chicago Bears 49-29, dog walked them. The Cowboys are now 6-2. Chicago is now 3-5. Quietly for 2 weeks, I've been saying that I think Tony Pollard should be the primary running back for the Cowboys. This one game, this season, with him being the starter, because Zeke was out this game. This one game, this one performance was better than Zeke this whole season so far. Can anybody tell me I'm lying? Any Cowboy fan that's listening to this, can y'all tell me if I'm lying? This one game that Tony Pollard had, 131 yards. My man only had 14 carries. Three touchdowns. This one game with his running was better than Zeke the whole season. I think he should be the primary running back. Now, does Zeke block better in the backfield? Absolutely. Me personally, that's why I would have Zeke back there. In my honest opinion, I think the Cowboys offense, and listen, I can't believe I'm even giving the Cowboys some advice because I don't like them. Well, I don't like their fans. I can't believe I'm even giving them some advice. I honestly think that they should have a two running back system where I think Pollard should be the running back and I think Zeke could be like your fullback, and when Pollard get the ball, Zeke should block for him in the backfield since he's the better, more stocky, you know, more bulked up running back, in my honest opinion. Just a little gem that I'm trying to give to the Cowboys. Now, if they start doing that, y'all know where they got it from. But yeah, the Cowboys are 6-2. The Bears are 3-5. Dolphins and the Lions. The Dolphins won that 31-27. This Dolphins team, I'm very impressed with. Tua has been nothing but amazing since he's returned from his concussion injury a few weeks ago. 3 touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over. Okay, he got sacked twice, but Tyreek Hill, man, almost 200 yards receiving. He didn't get in the end zone, though, but to still have that many yards, nothing but amazing. Jalen Waddle did his thing, obviously. I think they're looking like the best one. No. Let me not get ahead of myself. I was just getting ready to say that they might be the best 1-2 receiving core in the NFL. I don't know, man. I think that team in the same division as them, I don't know. I think Buffalo might have something to say with that. I think Stephon Diggs and Davis might have something to say about that. But they are one of the top 1-2 receiving cores in the NFL. I'll just put that out there. I don't want to, you know, put my foot in my mouth with a comment that I might regret. But Detroit, man, what it is with these team, with this team. For the last 2 seasons, they cannot sustain a lead. They just can't. I feel bad for Detroit fans. I honestly do. Whether it's the Pistons, whether it's the Tigers, whether it's the Lions, listen. I think the last time y'all seen a championship was 04 with the Pistons. That was damn near 20 years ago. Damn near 20 years ago. Y'all never gonna see one with the Lions. And I think out of all y'all teams in the city, I think that might be the team that y'all treasure the most. At least now. Because obviously back in the day, I'm quite sure it was the Bad Boy Pistons. But if we're talking about right now, I think the team that y'all treasure the most in Detroit is your football team. And they can't win worth the damn. They can't win. I feel bad for y'all, man. I feel bad for y'all. The Vikings. Listen, all this talk about Philly being undefeated, rightfully so. Buffalo being the top team in the AFC. Listen, it's people that say Buffalo is the top team in the NFL, even though they have a loss. Everybody's talking about the Chiefs. Everybody's talking about the Dolphins. Nobody's really talking about Minnesota. And right now, they are 6-1 after their victory against the Arizona Cardinals, 34-26. Me, personally, I respect Minnesota. I really do. Contrary to popular belief, I actually do respect Minnesota. Dalvin Cook is that dude. Justin Jefferson is that dude. Adam Thielen is that dude when healthy. That defense is amazing. But see, here's the problem. And I told my young boy Josiah this, that works for me at my job. I know what the end result is going to be. The Vikings will do all of this. And then when playoff time come, they are going to be bounced. Reason being is because of that quarterback of theirs, Kirk Cousins. He is going to do his thing in the regular season. Yes, he is. Just don't have them play primetime games because he's trash when it comes to primetime games. It's even worse when it's playoff time. So I know the inevitable with this Vikings team. Shout out to my man Flush Man from Philly. Another Vikings fan. I know the end result. My big homie KSAP, Simply Boy Dropping Podcast. I know the end result with this Vikings team. Now, yes, they got the division. They got that shit under lock and key. Green Bay is having a bad year this year. They got the division. They'll probably get a home game, and then after that, they're done. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. The Raiders and the Saints. The Saints shut the Raiders out 24-0 at home in the Superdome. Alvin Kamara had 3 touchdowns. That Raiders defense looked horrible. Horrible. They had Andy Dalton looking like the old Andy Dalton, but he's with the Bengals. That's how they had him looking. Alvin Kamara with the work on the ground and receiving. 62 yards rushing, 96 yards receiving. 3 touchdowns. 2 of them was receiving. Alvin Kamara was looking like Mark Colston. The old, when Drew Brees was there. That's how he was looking out there catching passes from Dalton. Now, this Raiders team, man, a lot of people had a lot of hope for them this season. A lot of hope. And Devontae Adams, I'm wondering if he's saying to himself, damn, I should have stayed in Green Bay. Aside from all the bullshit that Aaron Rodgers was doing, I should have stayed in Green Bay. My man had 5 targets, 1 reception for 3 yards. Derek Carr had 101 passing yards, 1 interception. It was so horrible that they had to take him out the game and put Jared Stidham in because there was no way they was going to win the game. But see, this is the problem. Now, yes, this Raiders offense is just horrible. You got players bumping into each other. I was never really sold on Derek Carr to begin with. And I feel bad for Jacobs because I like Jacobs in the backfield. But this is the problem. And this is the same problem that I said earlier with Todd Bowles. When you have these coaches that are primarily coordinators and you give them an opportunity to be a head coach, that's more responsibility that you're putting on them. They gave Josh McDaniels an opportunity to be a head coach. Now, if you don't know who Josh McDaniels is, I'm going to let you know. He was with the New England Patriots for years as an offensive coordinator. He went to coach the Denver Broncos when Tebow was there. How'd that turn out? Okay. I believe he had a stint with the Rams when they were in St. Louis. How'd that turn out? He then goes back to be the coordinator for the Patriots, win some championships. Then he was supposed to be the coach for the Indianapolis Colts. I believe a day or two later, he reneged and said, oh no, I'm not taking the job. I'm going to go back to be the coordinator for the Patriots. Does amazing thing with the Patriots, helps them win their championships. And then they say, you know what? I think it's time that you get another head coaching job and let's take you to Vegas. And look what's happened. Not a damn thing. There are just some coaches that are just great coordinators. You're not a head coach. Just stick to being a coordinator. Stick to what you do best, and that's running an offense. Because obviously, when it comes to head coaching, you don't know a damn thing about that shit. That's just my opinion. Speaking of the Patriots beat the Jets 22-17. I'm sorry, Jet fans. I'm sorry for y'all. I feel bad for y'all. Y'all had a good thing going. Y'all had a good thing going. Y'all pulled an upset against the Cleveland Browns, which was a comeback win. Y'all beat dog shit down the Dolphins' legs. You pulled the upset with the Packers. You beat the Broncos and all that altitude, and then y'all come home against your division rivals. And y'all had the game. Y'all had the game if it wasn't for your damn quarterback making all these fucking mistakes. Zach Wilson blew this game for the New York Jets. He blew this game for them. Three interceptions. And by the way, they were three boneless interceptions. I don't know what he was looking at. Now you look at the stat sheet. Oh, 355 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions. Oh, he did amazing. No, he didn't. Those three interceptions is what blew that game away, because all three turnovers, the Patriots went down the field and either got a touchdown or a field goal off of it. That Jets defense was tired from all those interceptions. Because once you turn the ball over, you're putting the defense back out there. When they just got off the field, so now they got to go back out there after a turnover on the next drive. Greg Wilson played a good game for the Jets. Garrett Wilson, pardon himself, played a good game for the Jets. But yeah, listen, the Jets, man. I don't think they was going to the playoffs. Like, I get, you know, their coach saying that, oh, he's got receipts for all the play, you know, for all the people that was talking down on the Jets. Listen, this was a game they were supposed to win. I'm sorry. And I get that they've been on this slump as of recently, beating the Patriots. Like, I don't even know what the streak is right now off the top of my head, but for the past few years, obviously, when you play your division rivals, you play them twice in the season. I think the Jets is on like an 8-game losing streak type shit, or probably even more against the Patriots. They were supposed to snap that shit last weekend, but Zach Wilson and his turnovers blew that chance. So now the Patriots are now 4-4, and the Jets are 5-3. They're still tied with the Dolphins for second place, which they would have the tiebreaker because, again, they beat them earlier this season. For the battle of PA, the Eagles won that 35-13. AJ Brown went to work on the Steelers, 156 yards receiving and three touchdowns. Even threw some trash talking in it as well, which I don't mind, as long as you're backing it up. Pause. Miles Sanders, 78 yards. The running game for the Eagles was good. Jalen Hurts, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Listen, the MVP talk, I think right now, I think it's between Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. I think those are the two MVPs. I mean, of course, you could throw Mahomes in there, so I guess you could say it's them three. But Jalen Hurts, man, I'm very impressed with him this season. Very impressed. Because I had a talk with my man Keezy from Philly, and he was even saying, like, yo, with the season that Hurts is having, remember earlier in the season, in the offseason, they was talking about possibly trading Jalen Hurts. They was talking about getting Russell Wilson from Seattle. It's a good thing they didn't do that shit, because not for nothing, Jalen Hurts is playing better than Russell Wilson. And that guy up there in Seattle, Geno, he's playing better than Russell Wilson. But I'm going to get to that later. Titans, 5-game winning streak. They beat the Texans 17-10. Listen, I'm not going to speak that much on this game. All I'm going to say is King Henry. That's all I need to say. 219 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. Him by himself beat this team. Him by himself. Okay, yeah, the score was 17-10. Because obviously if he had 2 touchdowns, that means you needed a field goal. Just take his 2 touchdowns. And him alone beat the Texans. Commanders and the Colts. The Commanders won that 17-16. I think the Colts are basically done at this point. I mean, Washington, 4-4. So all four teams in the NFC East has a 500 win percentage. Now, remember last year, that division was the joke. They was calling it the NFC Lease. This year, each team in that division either has a tying record or a winning record. Speaking of the Washington Commanders, Daniel Snyder, and I believe his wife's name is Tanya, I don't know and I don't care, but it's looking like that they're looking to sell the team. Washington Commanders. And last night, as I laid in my bed and I was on Instagram, it was brought to my attention that the big homie, Sean Corey Carter, aka Jay-Z, yes, the GOAT, is looking like that he might be interested in buying the Washington Commanders. Now, I have been saying for years that it's time that the NFL has a black owner. I know Hove gets a little something from the NFL when it comes to the halftime shows and shit like that, but I wouldn't mind him being an owner of the NFL team, because I think it's about time that we get a brother up there. We've been talking about getting at that table. Now is the time. And what better person than him? You know what I'm saying? That's just my opinion. Maybe it might be biased. Hey, it is what it is. When I think of somebody of his caliber and his entrepreneurship, I can't think of anybody else. I mean, yeah, you got Master P, you know, you got Fifth. But would they even be interested in buying a sports team? You know what I mean? I don't know. And besides, if Master P was to try to own one, I'm quite sure he would want to own his home team, which is the Saints. And I don't think I don't think that's going to happen with the ownership core over there. I don't see that happening. The 49ers, once again, beat dog shit down the Rams' leg. I think they're on a 7 or 8 game winning streak now against the Rams. They won 31-14. Christian McCaffrey was the MVP of this game. My man ran a touchdown, received a touchdown, and even threw one. Him alone won this game. I don't know, man. I think this Rams team is hungover from last year winning the Super Bowl. I know some key pieces are gone. You know, Odell was hurt. Von Miller's not there. Allen Robinson was supposed to be their second receiver behind Cooper Kupp. He ain't done jack shit. And the Rams don't have a running game. So, I don't know, man. They are really in danger of not making the playoffs next season. Speaking of the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks just keep impressing us week after week after week. The Seahawks are now 5-3. They beat the New York Football Giants 27-13. A pick that I had. Well, everybody picked the Giants to win, which the Giants are doing well. I will admit that. I said this was the week that they was going to lose. Something told me that Seattle would win this game, and they did. Tyler Lockett had some hiccups in this game. He dropped the touchdown pass. He fumbled the ball way, way, way far on their side of the field, which gave the Giants the ball, and I believe they got a touchdown off that turnover. But Geno Smith, maturing the way that he did, maturing the way that he has, went to his receiver, talked to him, calmed him down, and basically was on some, listen, we're going to get it back. He put trust into his receiver, kept feeding him the ball, and what happened? He got a touchdown in the fourth quarter. to turn it into a 20-13 lead. And then basically, you know, Kenneth Rogers III ran a touchdown that basically sealed the game for the Seahawks. I'm very impressed with this Seahawks team. The Giants, obviously, you know how you're going to beat. Listen, Daniel Jones has had a good season. But if you Giants fans think for 1 second that he can get y'all somewhere long term, you're sadly mistaken. He got sacked 5 times. No touchdowns. He's more better running the ball than he is passing it. That's just my opinion. But, you know, the Seahawks 27-13. The Seahawks are 5-3. They are the sole leaders of the NFC West. Sunday night football, we had the Packers and the Bills. Stephon Diggs went to work. Went to work on that Green Bay defense. 108 yards, 1 touchdown. Josh Allen, it's been a while since I've seen him throw 2 interceptions in a game. One of them, in the words of DMX, stop being greedy. Got too greedy, threw an interception. Now, this wasn't even the Buffalo Bills' best game. If I had to grade their performance as a team, I'd have gave that shit a C average. So even a C average Bills was able to beat this tired and badly organized the Green Bay Packers team. They made no trades at the trade deadline. They know Aaron Rodgers need receivers. And they still didn't go out there and get nobody. Crazy. Crazy. Shit crazy. In the words of my man Uncle Murder. But yes, Buffalo 6-1. Green Bay 3-5. Another team that's in danger of not making the playoffs. And then last but not least, we had the Battle of Ohio. The Cleveland Browns just went to work on the Bengals. 32-13. Wow. That's all I gotta say is wow. I definitely didn't expect that. Amari Cooper looked like old Amari Cooper. Nick Chubb has been doing Nick Chubb shit this whole season. And Jacoby Brissett played good as well. But see, Cincinnati, man, they too inconsistent. You can't think you're a threat to the Ravens and you're losing the teams that you should be beating. But anyway, that's my recap for week 8. When your boy gets back, I'm going to give my offensive and defensive player of the week awards for week 8. And then we're going to get into my picks for week 9. Sit tight. Don't go anywhere. Your boy will be right back. Holla.
It's time for Dre Day's offensive and defensive players of the week. Lovely.
What time it is? It's time for Dre Day Weekly's picks.
What up, what up, what up? Your boy is back. It is now time for Dre Day's offensive and defensive player of the week awards for week 8. First, let's get into my offensive player of the week. Listen, it was a lot of candidates. A lot of candidates. A lot. I could have threw 2 in there. Tyreek Hill, I could have threw him in there, but, you know, he ain't have no touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, I could have threw him in there. But it was one person in particular. I said, you know what? This person is very well deserving of offensive player of the week. And that would be Christian McCaffrey of the San Francisco 49ers. Listen, when you can throw a touchdown, catch a touchdown, and run a touchdown. Now, it's not like he just did those things and he wasn't putting up numbers, because he was. He had almost 100 yards rushing, 55 yards receiving. And shit, he had 34 yards throwing because his touchdown pass was 34 yards. That sounds like a lot of yards coming from the line of scrimmage. That equals Offensive Player of the Year worthy. So Christian McCaffrey of the San Francisco 49ers is my Offensive Player of the Week. Now we get to the defense. And my Defensive Player of the Week goes to Za'Darius Smith of the Minnesota Vikings. That is my Defensive Player of the Week. 7 tackles, 3 sacks. Just did an amazing job on defense for the Minnesota Vikings. With that being said, it is now time for my picks for week number 9. Let's get to it. Listen, these last few weeks, week 7 and week 8, I've done relatively well with my picks. I was 10-5 last weekend, and I was 10-4 week 7. Let's see what happens this week. Let's get to it. Well, I tell you one thing, I'm already 1-0 because the Eagles, I was definitely picking the Eagles over the Texans. So, let's get straight to it. I'm already 1-0. Let's play ball. Remember, the Eagles, they beat them yesterday on Thursday Night Football, 29-17. Now, the Titans did make it interesting. I mean, the Texans did make it interesting. It was tied 14 at halftime. So, for some people, that could be an upset alert. But, basically, Tennessee took over after that. I mean, Philly took over after that. Jalen Hurts had 2 touchdown passes, 243 yards. Dallas Goedert, hopefully I'm saying his last name right, 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. And Miles Sanders had 93 rushing yards and a touchdown. And the Eagles won. So obviously I'm already 1-0 with my picks this week. Let's get to the rest of them. We got the Falcons and the Chargers. For me, this is a trap game. This is honestly a trap game. I honestly do not know who I'm going to go with this game. Now, usually West Coast teams, they struggle coming east. And right now, the Chargers are too inconsistent for me. They really are. They are really inconsistent for me. So I really don't know who I'm going to go with this game. You know what? I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to go on a limb. This is my upset alert. Because if you look at the teams, the consensus out there would say that the Chargers is going to win. I'm liking Atlanta's momentum right now. I honestly do. I'm going with the Falcons. I'm going with the Falcons. And on top of that, it's in the A. It's in the dome. I'm going with the Falcons. I'm going with the Falcons to beat the Chargers this weekend. Next, we got the Dolphins and the Bears. Going with the Dolphins. Who are we kidding here? I don't care if it's in Chicago. Can this Bears defense, them defensive backs, can they handle Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle? I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. Next, we got the Panthers and the Bengals. I am going to go with the Bengals. I think they need some get back after that Monday night ass whooping against their state rival, Cleveland Browns. Now, I get it. Jamar Chase is out for a few weeks. So that kind of renders Joe Burrow just a little bit. But listen, I remember when this season first started, Joe Cool, the next Tom Brady, one of the top quarterbacks of the season. Well, guess what? He need to start playing like it. He definitely need to start playing like it. I get it, 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, but you need to be consistent with it. But I'm going to go with the Bengals to beat the Panthers. Next, we got the Packers and the Lions. Oh, man. Both of these teams are to shit. Let's just get that out the way. I don't trust the Packers, and obviously I don't trust Detroit. But I do believe Aaron Rodgers can get somewhat off this rust of his against the Detroit Lions. So with that, I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers. Christian Watson is questionable. I honestly don't even think he's going to play because he did get concussed in that game against Buffalo. And if it's one thing I know with these concussions now, they are not playing any games, especially with that Tua shit. So I know they got him listed as questionable, but I do not think he's going to play. Hell, Aaron Rodgers is questionable, and we all know he's playing. Alan Lazard is questionable. Listen, Green Bay lost a defensive player last week as well. Like, they got a lot of injuries in that game against Buffalo. But even with all that, they're going against the Lions. I'm going with Green Bay. Next, we got the Colts and we got the Patriots. I'm going with the Patriots. This is one of those old storied rivalries. Unfortunately, Tom Brady is not coming out that tunnel. Peyton Manning is not coming out that tunnel. Tony Dungy is not coaching the Colts, but Coach Belichick is still coaching the Patriots. But I'm going with the Patriots. It's in Foxborough, and I just trust that Coach Belichick's defense will do all it can to contain Jonathan Taylor. Because obviously he's the focal point of that offense. Matt Ryan is done. I don't trust the current quarterback. So yeah, I'm going with the New England Patriots. Next, we got the Bills and Jets. This is a reason. See, this was the reason why I felt it was very important for the Jets to beat New England last weekend. I felt it was very important because of who they got the next weekend. They could have rode high on that winning streak. The Jets could have been 6-2 going into this game. Then get dog walked and then be 6-3. Now they're about to get dog walked at home at MetLife and now be 5-4 because Buffalo is going to dog walk them this weekend. I hate to say it. Because if Zach Wilson threw 3 turnovers against this Patriots defense, what do you think is going to happen with this Buffalo defense? Now, I'm trying to remember. Did Zach Wilson a few years ago say that he saw a ghost when he was playing the Patriots defense? Or was that, I'm trying to think, was that him or was that another quarterback? I think it was a Monday Night Football game. And the quarterback for the Jets at the time, I don't know if it was Zach Wilson. There was a quarterback on that team that said that it's like he was seeing ghosts out there. I'm not sure if it was him. So if it wasn't him, then I take the comment back. But nonetheless, Buffalo is going to win this game. I got Buffalo beating the Jets. Next, we got the Vikings and the Commanders. I got the Vikings. No upset alert on this one. Next, we got the Raiders and the Jaguars. Shit, I honestly don't know who I'm going with this game. I honestly do not know. I honestly do not know who I'm going with this game. I honestly don't care, but I'm doing my picks. I can't leave a game out. I have to pick somebody. I am going to go with the Jaguars. I'm going to go with the Jags. This Raiders team, I honestly don't. Well, I already spoke about them earlier, so it is what it is at this point. Next, we got the Seahawks and we got the Cardinals. Now, This has been like one of them low tier type rivalries as in recent years. The Cardinals play the Seahawks very well when they in their house. I'm not even going to hold you. Damn. I really do not know who I'm going with this game. I honestly don't know. I honestly do not know. I am going to go on a limb. And I'm going to pick the Cardinals just because they're at home. I'm going to pick the Cardinals just because they're at home. If they were on the road, I would say the Seahawks. But since they're at home, I am going to go with the Arizona Cardinals. It wouldn't surprise me if Seattle won because I am impressed with them. But I'm going to go with the Cardinals because they're at home. Now, this is the game I'm looking for. The Rams and Tampa. You better believe they're showing this game on national television. It says CBS, so I'm assuming that the Jets and Buffalo will be the first game, at least out here in New York, local, obviously. And then the national televised game is going to be Tampa and the Rams, which means I got to hear Tony Romo try to predict plays and show how great he is as a commentator than he ever was as a quarterback, but that's neither here nor there. I believe this game here, the loser, season is over. The loser, their playoff aspirations are gone. Whoever loses this game, this is a must win for both teams. Was this the game that Brady was talking about when he said unfinished business? Because remember last year, who ended the Bucs season? The Rams. Was this the unfinished business that Brady was talking about? Now, I'm sure he might want to meet them in the playoffs. But see, here's the thing. That won't be happening this season. Because whoever loses this game, one of y'all ain't going to the playoffs. And I believe that team is going to be the Rams. I believe that the Bucs will get this over with. I believe they will snap this losing streak. I would hope and pray that now that Brady has now settled this thing with his ex-wife. Listen, her name is Giselle. I still love Giselle. I'm sorry. First of all, I was on her team to begin with. I was on her team. I said Brady should stay retired. I was on her side to begin with. Do not get it fucked up. So, yes, it's his ex-wife, but I'm still going to call her by her name, Giselle, okay? But I believe with that being done with, I believe that Brady will have a good game. Hopefully this defense takes some action and plays a lot better than they did last weekend. Cause I'm like I don't know what it is with this Buccaneers team. Their record at home is not too good. They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Packers. They lost to the Ravens. Now, obviously, all three of those teams that, you know, we deemed as playoff teams. But the one thing you got to do is defend your house. And for three times this season, you got five losses. Three of them have been in your house. You can't let this one be the fourth one. And not for nothing, the Rams have kind of owned you as of late. They beat you last season twice. Once in the regular season, and they ended the season. And then I believe the season prior to that, I think it was a Monday Night Football game where the Rams beat the Buccaneers. In fact, Brady's first season, yes, it was a Monday Night Football game. So they're 3-0 on you. They're 3-0 against Tampa since Brady has been there. But I think Tampa gets the win this weekend. And with that being said, I think with them winning, keeps their playoff hopes alive just a little bit. And then I think it just shuts the door on the Rams because that'd be five losses. And I think with five losses, I just don't see them making the playoffs. I just don't. So I think if they lose this game, I think this season is done. That's just my opinion. Sunday night football. We got the Chiefs and the Titans. This is going to be a goodie. This is going to be a goodie. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Chiefs for this reason. I do not believe that they are going to allow King Henry to have the 200 plus rushing yards on their defense like the Texans did last weekend. I believe Ryan Tannehill is out. So obviously, I don't trust the quarterback that the Titans have. Because I think in order to beat this Chiefs team, you're going to have to beat them throwing and running, not just running. So obviously, Steve Spagnuolo, hopefully I said his last name right, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, obviously, what his mission should be in this game is to stop King Henry. If you stop him, then it's a dog walk. It's a cakewalk. Because I believe Willis is his last name. Do I expect him to go to Arrowhead and put up some amazing numbers on that Chiefs defense? Absolutely not. So I'm going with the Chiefs. And then last but not least, we got Monday Night Football. We got the Ravens and we got the Saints. That dome will be live on Monday Night Football. Best and believe. Listen, this could be a trap game. This can honestly be a trap game. It honestly can be. The Ravens can go into that Superdome and stink up the joint. It could be Monday Night Football and the Saints defense just feast on the Ravens. Andy Dalton can have him another vintage game. Kamara can have him another interesting game. This could be a trap game, but I'm going to go with the Ravens. I'm going to go with the Ravens to beat the Saints on Monday Night Football. So those are my picks for week number nine. I'm going with the Eagles. I'm going with the Falcons. I'm going with the Dolphins. I'm going with the Bengals. I'm going with the Packers, Patriots, Bills, Vikings, Jags, Cardinals, Bucks, Chiefs, and Ravens. Those are my picks for week nine. And with that being said, it is a wrap for this episode. It is over. It is done. It is complete. The shout out that I want to give is I mentioned this dude earlier. And that would be Hove. That'd be Jay-Z. I'm shouting him out because I really, really, really hope that he's taking this trying to buy the Washington Commanders very seriously. Because I also saw that Jeff Bezos is also looking to be a potential buyer of the Washington Commanders. So I don't know if it's a group thing that they're trying to do together. Don't matter to me as long as Hove tries to become the owner of the Washington Commanders. For years, we have been saying it's time to get some brothers up in them owners' boxes. And why not it be you? Why not? Why not? You know what I'm saying? Why not? So the shout out for this episode will be going to none other than Jay-Z, aka Sean Carter, aka Hova, aka the GOAT. There we have it. The episode is over. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Y'all know where y'all can find me. I am on all streaming platforms. Well, not all, but you know, I'm on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Amazon Music. You can also download the Anchor app and Facebook, Instagram, Dre Day 1985. Sports Grid with Dre Day Podcast. On Twitter, Dre Day 1985. The link is in the bio. So that's where you can find your boy. So once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sports Grid with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 281 is done. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com, or call him at 443-810-0384.